الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, اللہ تبارک و تعالی has warned us in the Quran Sharif of our enemies. All over the world people are searching for some kind of a solution to overcome their enemies. The governments of the world consider other governments as their enemies. Nations consider other nations or some other nations as their enemies. Parties consider some other parties as their enemies. Political parties, other kinds of parties. In our own country we can see how that party which was considered to be just one united party, they are now having a good party. They are all parted. And there are so many different groupings, each one considering the other as its enemy. Then amongst individuals also, we also consider many people as our enemies. Individuals also, we have many enemies. The rogues, the thieves, the burglars, the hijackers, the murderers, the killers. All these people we consider as our enemies. Because the enemy tries to strike and defeat the enemy. So just as international communities are fighting and with their bombs and with their ammunition they want to destroy the other, in the same way individuals also, they have their own enemies. So there's no doubt a person has got many different kinds of enemies. But it is not that difficult to protect oneself from those enemies as it is difficult to protect oneself from the enemy whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has declared as our enemy. And that is Shaitan. Inna shaitana lakum adubum mubin. Very, very open enemy. And also Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam declared that the worst enemy of yours, the worst enemy, inna a'da aduwika, the worst, the most dangerous enemy, is which enemy? The one baina jambayk. In other words, your nafs, the nafs which is baina jambayk, tumhare pehluo ke darmiyan. So that is the worst enemy. Worst of all the enemies. Greatest of all the enemies. So therefore let us look at the four enemies of man as mentioned by Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi Rahmatullah Ali. He says that Ay Mukhatab Jaan ke tere peeche char dushman lage huye hai. There are four enemies behind you. اور ان سے تجھ کو مقابلہ کرنا بلکہ جہاد کرنا ہے. اینڈ یو ہیو ٹو میک جہاد اگینسٹ دیز اینیمیز. ایز آئی ایکسپلین دیٹ دیر آر سو مینی ڈفرنٹ کائنڈ آف اینیمیز بٹ دیز اینیمیز یو ہیو ٹو میک جہاد اگینسٹ دیم. یو ہیو ٹو ویج اے وار اگینسٹ دیم. یو ہیو ٹو میک سم سیکریفائسز ٹو اوور کم دیم، ٹو اوور پاور دیم. دیر ہیز ٹو بی سم کائنڈ آف سیکریفائس. There has to be some kind of a effort that has to be made to overpower these enemies. So he said, generally, all you believers, we have four enemies behind us. The first one, he says, ye dunya hai jo ke nihayat hi chalbaz, farebi aur dhoke ki tatti hai. Uske mutalliq Allah tabarak wa ta'ala irshad farmate hain, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. He says the first enemy is this dunya itself. It is behind every Muslim, behind every mu'min. And by now I think 120 times we must have discussed what is dunya. For when we say dunya, then immediately in our minds we think of gold, silver, good home, good car, and we say that's dunya. Whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not condemn that dunya which is wasila of the akhirah. That dunya which becomes a means of gaining entry into Jannat, that dunya which becomes means of gaining Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure, that dunya which becomes a means of sawab, how can that be a condemned dunya? So what is then dunya? Dunya is not the name of gold and silver. Dunya is the name of that which diverts a person from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That business that diverts his attention. And the month of December is coming and the shops will be extremely busy if Allah Ta'ala wills. But then what does happen is that the person in that excitement that shop is very busy, even if the person was a five-time namazi, he too forgets his Zohar Salat, Asr Salat with Jamaat. He too becomes negligent. That Allah Ta'ala who is sending those customers and who is giving that rizq, they forget that Allah Ta'ala. How many people at present are complaining of the disaster that has stricken, the collapse of the stock exchange, and the losses that they have incurred? How many people in the international world were actually contemplating suicide or have committed suicide? Reports have come of how many people having suffered heart attacks and depression and all kinds of problems just with a little shake-up of that stock exchange. Just a little shake-up. Allah Ta'ala didn't shake it up completely. But just look at what is happening around the globe. So it is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. If he wants to tighten the noose, no one can prevent Allah Ta'ala from doing so. So it is just Allah Ta'ala's tolerance that he, in spite of all our sins and in spite of our negligence of our salat and our negligence of zakat and negligence of the fulfillment of the rights of people, because many a times in our quest for the accumulation of more and more, we even forget that we have a mother, we have a father, we have a wife, we have children, we have neighbors, we have different kinds of people that we have to visit. We have to go to the hospital and visit family members, friends, others. There are so many other huquq that are there. Then there's a huquq of deen also that are upon our shoulders. Amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar is a haq. But we neglect all those huquq just because we say we are earning livelihood. Even though if they're halal, it may be halal livelihood. But this negligence, or when the person is diverted from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, so then it becomes dunya. Because sometimes the person can be earning that which is halal. From the fatwa point of view, he has earned halal. The earning that came, we will say that it is halal. If somebody has to be given that money as a gift, or the person uses it for masjid or madrasa or umrah or hajj or poor or needy, we will say that that earning was halal. But if he was negligent with his salat, although it was halal earning, the person earned halal, but he was negligent with his salat. He didn't make it with jamaat in the masjid, whereas the masjid was 2 doors away from him, because of his business, or the person was negligent with the rights of the others, or the person earned it halal and now he didn't pay zakat from it. So many things can happen that can divert the person from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. or the person earned it halal, but now he is using it on haram. That can also happen, that the person earned it halal. The earning was halal. He bought something, he sold something, bought something, sold something, he will say it was halal. The commodity itself was halal to buy and sell. But after that he took that money and went to the casino. He went to the disco. He went and bought some videotape or movie or some Hollywood, Bollywood DVD. So now the earning was halal, but now the usage is haram. So we will say again that person has been diverted from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala refers to in that ayat. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an zikrillah. O ye who believe, don't let your wealth and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That means from the fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani Rahmatullah Alayhi in fact used to say that from your spending, from your expenditure, I see what kind of earning you had. He says, I don't have to look at how you went and earned your wealth. He says, when I look at your expenditure, I look at where you are spending that money that you have got. From there I can gauge how your earning was. How did that money come to you? Did it come halal or it came through haram? But of course that was his kash, but what we are saying here that even if the person from the fatwa point of view earned it halal, but he can still spend it in the haram direction, and then that will mean that it has diverted him from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So then that wealth is not becoming the means of his gaining Jannat and gaining Allah Ta'ala's closeness and ma'rifat and muhabbat. That wealth is now becoming the means of his entry into Jahannam, because it has diverted him. So that is dunya now. So he says the first enemy of yours is this dunya itself. Of the four enemies, the first one he talks about is dunya. Because whatever the person is going to do, he is going to do it for the love of this dunya. When he's got the love of the dunya, then that is when he's going to go towards the haram. The person who's going to the casino, to the disco, to the cinemas, theaters, rave clubs and all the other haram, it is because he has got a love of dunya in his heart. Those things which are beloved to shaitan is dunya. And therefore this person now, because of that love of the dunya, he is doing all these things. So the first enemy, he says, against which you have to make some kind of a jihad and fight, is this love of dunya. We consider many things as sins. Many things we say it is sin, it is haram. But we don't say that the love of dunya is also haram. Again, keep in mind what I gave as the definition of dunya. Otherwise, just now we will say that wife, children, shop, home, gold, silver, our cars, all these things have now been declared haram. Na'uzu billah, because we misunderstand. What I am saying is that those things which lead to haram, or that haram itself in which the person is engaging, then that is that dunya which is haram. So what we have to first do is jihad against that. That we can have the love of all those things that Allah Ta'ala has asked us to love. But the love of those things also must not exceed the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Now there Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is telling Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to make this announcement. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, make this announcement. إِنْ كَانَ عَبَاؤُكُمْ. وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, your fathers, your children, your sons, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, your brothers, وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, your wives, وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ, your families, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and that wealth which you have hoarded, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and those businesses in which you fear losses, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, those homes which you love dearly. If all these things are more beloved to you than Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then await Allah Ta'ala's order to come to pass. That means if they are more beloved, on the one hand is the taqaza and the demand of all these things and these people, and on the other hand is the taqaza of Sharia and Quran and Sunnah and Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then whose taqaza, whose demand do we give in to? That is where the test is. So to love these things within the limit, it is part of deen, part of Sharia. So he says that is the first one. We can go into detail, but I'm not going into the detailed discussion now. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this dunya, it is nothing but a world of deception. It is mata, just some commodity, those things of necessity, but just that it is of deception. That we are deceived when we are in this world, when we are making use of the ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Shaitan whispers into our hearts that you're going to live very, very long. There's no such thing as death that will overtake you. There are people going to the Qabristan, let them go. Your day will not come now. You've got another 100 years to live. Shaitan doesn't allow us to believe that we are also going to follow in that same direction. Which person hasn't gone to the Qabristan and which person will not go to the Qabristan? Qabristan doesn't mean graveyard. If the person dies and is burned to death or drowns in the ocean, all that is his grave. That is alam-e-barzakh.
Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha jo qabr-e-kohan uski ukhdi to dekha na uzv-e-badan tha na taar-e-kafan tha. कई बार हमने ये देखा कि जिनका मुशय्यन बदन था मुअत्तर कफन था जो कब्रे कोहन उसकी उखड़ी तो देखा न उज्वे बदन था न तारे कफन था.
How many times you heard this? Says how many times we have seen. कई बार हमने people who are fit, healthy, everything going for them. Especially in our times, many, many of our young boys, they have their flashy cars and latest model cell phones, every kind of technology in their home of amusement and entertainment, everything going for them. Fit and healthy bodies, running, jogging, skipping, going to the cinemas and discos and everywhere. And then suddenly, in the midst of all that enjoyment, the angel of death strikes and the person goes flat and is gone. And if he was not in the evil and the bad line, then even if he was a good person, suddenly it can strike. Doesn't mean only for the wrong ones. Even if the person was very pious and very righteous, he too can be young, fit, healthy and suddenly is gone.
Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tawsi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur miyad uski nahi maloom.
The same share which you have heard many, many, many times. Kai zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa. Very, very strange kind of visa. When Allah Ta'ala recalls, nobody knows. The duration of time is unknown and the validity also cannot be extended. The visa cannot be extended and the duration is also not known how long the person is going to stay. So therefore it's a world of deception. Make use, enjoy the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. He created the entire universe and so many things of the universe. For who did He create? It is really for the believers. We must not say always that it's created for the disbelievers. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala didn't create this whole universe for the disbelievers to enjoy. They are enjoying it because of some Muslim that is taking the name of Allah. Hadith Sharif is clear on that. Until there will be even one person that will make Allah somewhere, Allah Ta'ala will keep the whole universe in existence and give the mafhum of the Hadith Sharif. Just Allah, Allah, the person is making something. The whole universe, the heavens and the earth and the waters of the ocean and the animals in the jungle and the forest and everything will stay. The day nobody will remain, Allah Ta'ala will destroy the universe. So what does that indicate? What conclusion do we come to? That Allah Ta'ala created the entire universe for the believers to use. The disbelievers are using because there's some believer in the world. However, Allah Ta'ala did not make this world a jannat for the believers also. There's a difference, there's a fine line. We must not confuse the two and then go into some kind of an extreme explanation. Sometimes we say this whole dunya is for the kuffar, for the mushrikeen, for Yahud and Nasara, and we must not make use of it. La tmaro dunyaku. And then the same people afterwards, when they see them in good home and good cars, they say, just now you are giving bayan, la tmaro, then why don't you latmar now? So if he doesn't explain it properly, then that will be the impression. We have to explain what is real dunya. So Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe and everything in the universe for the benefit of man and especially for the believers. Allah Ta'ala wanted us to make use of the skies and of the sun and the moon and the stars and of the waters of the ocean to ply our boats and do our export-import and to make use of the gold and the silver and the uranium and the platinum. Allah Ta'ala made it for the believers. The disbelievers are using because there's some believer in the world. But Allah Ta'ala did not make this a jannat for the believers. It is not a jannat for the believers. Meaning that in this world, in the usage of everything, there will be some restrictions. Whereas the kuffar and the mushrikeen, there's no restrictions for them. They will drink anything they wish to drink. They will eat anything they wish to eat. They'll eat pork and they'll eat any kind of haram and they'll drink any kind of liquor and wine. They will associate with different kinds of women. They will not be concerned about paki and napaki when it comes to their clothes. Is there any question of taharat for the disbelievers? Have you heard any masla like that? There's no such thing as taharat. Travel out in the world and see. There's no masla such as taharat for them. Whether it's their pants or their clothes, or whether it's their rooms or whatever, their living conditions. Nothing, full of najasat. Everywhere nothing but najasat. So the believers, there's going to be some kind of restrictions, like how a person when he is in prison, there's restrictions. When we say ad-dunya sijnul mu'min, it's prison for the believers. Then this is what it means. Prison doesn't mean that now he can't eat, can't drink, nothing. In prison also they eat and drink. And some of our prisons are like 5-star hotels. Go to America and some other places, 5-star hotels. Television viewing, chicken curry, mutton curry, fish curry, everything provided. Sometimes they're far more comfortable inside there than outside. When we went to visit the prison one time, person he told us who was in charge there, he says, most of these people, or many of them, are repeats. He said, because outside they don't have shelter, they don't have food, they don't have this, they better commit some crime, come back inside here. But still inside there, whatever it is, it's a prison. It's not a place of comfort and relaxation. The person, for him, it's a prison. So like for the believer, it is like that prison, that where there's restrictions, that you have to get up before sunrise. The prisoners, they are told, this time you must get up, this time you must eat, this is the kind of clothes you can wear. Can any prisoner there wear the type of clothes that he fancies? Why don't we make any kind of objection there? Then why are these prisoners all forced to wear certain kind of dress? So like that, the Muslim, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala didn't say, must have only one kind of clothes. this flexibility, as long as that you are not in that clothes which identify you as person of some other faith. And also we must make an effort to wear the sunnat libas, or the libas of the salihin, the pious and the righteous ones of the time. Because there's noor in that libas. The person who will wear the libas and the clothing of the pious and the righteous, and after that tell him to change into that shirt, pant and jeans and tops and all those kind of things that they wear, there'll be no noor in that. There'll be like a darkness. So the person who is a Muslim, we don't say that certain things may be halal, it is permissible. It is permissible, but it doesn't mean that if it's permissible, then the person has to adopt that kind of libas. So what I am saying is that just as in libas, Allah Ta'ala has kept so much of flexibility, that the person of Morocco will wear something little different from the person that is of Comoro Island, and person in Comoro Island will wear something little different from that person in South Africa, and the kurta that the people in Pakistan wear is different from the kurta that they wear in Saudi Arabia. Now all these things are accommodated for. We must not be so narrow in our thinking that only those who wear the type of kurta that they wear in Pakistan or India, you can only get waliullahs amongst them. And all those great, great mashayikh and buzrugs and great awliya of the Arab world, then we look down upon them because they don't wear the kurta with the same cut that we wear, the same kind of design and pattern. For them, they will look at the salihin of their area, salihin and the pious and the righteous ones of their cities and their country. And if they adopt that dress, as long as it's above the ankles, the person hasn't got it flowing below the ankles. It doesn't mean if you wear a kurta in Saudi Arabia, then it must flow below your ankles. That we will say haram. Now that is a different subject. I don't wish to go in that direction. But what I don't know how we even went in that direction. So there is a sort of a flexibility there. But it must not be resembling the libas of the kuffar and of the mushrikeen or the fusaq. So dunya is not gold, silver and all these things. We are in this world, there will be some restrictions. We have to stay within that boundary. We must not cross those borders. There are borders that have been placed. That's all. That is what we mean by prison for us. Otherwise we can eat so many things, we can drink so many things, we can wear so many kind of clothes. We can live in good home and travel in good car. That is not dunya. So he says the first enemy is this dunya, meaning that which diverts the person's attention from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is dunya. So we have to make a kind of a jihad against it. That there will be temptation, that the business, lots of customers in there, now there's temptation. That if we are going to remain open, we will make more and more money. Our tools will keep ringing. And if we have to close up and go, there'll be big loss, very big loss, Maulana. As it is the whole year round, we are killing flies. Now when customers are coming, you say, must chase the customers away too. So temptations will come. Temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. In the qabr, then the person will have to cry. In the akhirat, he will have to cry. In jahannam, he will have to cry. That time you must believe and truly believe that my Allah is the Razzaq. He is the one who sent these customers in the direction of my shop. Otherwise it can be December and it can be any other month. If Allah Ta'ala is not going to send them in that direction, the person can try what he wants, put as many advertisements in different newspapers. If Allah Ta'ala does not want them to go in that direction, they will never go. How many a times the people just pass a certain shop and one buy at the next door and the person might be even paying higher price next door. Risk is muqaddar. Chases after a person like how death go follows a person. Your risk, it follows them. Risk and sustenance follows a person. Person will not die hatta tastakmila rizqaha, until he has not completed his risk. There are so many incidents we can discuss with regards to risk. The second dushman, he says, is your nafs. یہ سب دشمنوں سے بڑھ کر دشمن ہے.
Nafs is that enemy which is the snake inside our sleeves. If a person has got a snake inside his sleeve, how dangerous that is. Now this nafs is right inside. So what a dangerous enemy. You have to be so sharp and so cautious. Sometimes through the actions of deen, this nafs misleads. The person will be made to engage in actions of deen. But the whole objective is nothing but show business, riya, or to make, get name and fame or make some money out of it. The person will be saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing that. And in the meantime, he will use all that for some chanda panda collection for himself. And he will enrich himself, but in the name of deen. But he will say that I'm doing this deen work, that deen work. In the meantime, it is nothing, but he wants to build up more and more connections. For more and more contracts. So many people like that. So shaitan is very shrewd and his nafs is very shrewd. In fact, nafs is what made shaitan into shaitan. Therefore it is said that you require two steps to reach Allah Ta'ala. One is on one leg on the nafs and one on shaitan and you reach Allah Ta'ala. Brother Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says it's only one step and that is on the nafs. Because what made shaitan proud? It was his nafs. So the person has to be so cautious and so careful, he has to keep on questioning himself that why am I doing this amal? For what purpose am I doing it? Is there any kind of name and fame behind it? Or is it for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? It's not easy to win this battle against the nafs unless the person has had the sohbat of the salihin in their company because they are the reservoirs of ikhlas. So when we sit with them, then it transfers into our hearts and we too become a bit conscious. Not too much, but still a little bit we become conscious. Then what am I doing? For whom am I doing it? What is the objective behind it? So slowly, slowly that ikhlas comes into the heart. So that is the second enemy. The third one is the shaitan and iblis, as we discussed earlier on. Shaitan is a declared enemy. And there are so many things we have discussed about shaitan. And the fourth one is shayatinul ins. Well, jinn, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, in Suratul Nas, what do we say? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek protection in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Lord of mankind, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, King of mankind, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the Ma'bud of mankind, God of mankind, مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ, from the mischief of the whisperer who whispers and withdraws. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. He whispers into the hearts of people. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Of the jinn kind and وَالنَّاسِ. Of the people. Of mankind. So there are two kinds. Allah Ta'ala is talking of two kinds of these whisperers. One is of the jinn kind. Shaitan was of the jinn. And the other one is of mankind. And this is the dangerous area. Today there is a battle. Everybody wants to claim the heart of the people. There is a battle of ideologies today. Look at the internet sites. Islam, Islam, Islam. Different brands of Islam. Look at the books that are coming out in the name of Islam. But it's nothing but different brands of Islam, so-called Islam. Whereas Islam is only that Islam which is the Islam of the Quran Sharif and the Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Aimma and Mujtahideen, whatever they have given us. And that is Islam. Different brands. The Qadianis, they say we are Muslims. The Shias,
There are different groups among them. Some revile the Sahabas, they sway the Sahabas, they curse the Sahaba. They express great joy and excitement and happiness recently when they heard of the book, The Jewel of Medina. Whereas Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has been mentioned in a very, very derogatory way. Some of the extracts that came, we can't even read them. So the Shias became extremely excited and happy, and they did not want it to be banned. Because they truly believe, and it's mentioned in their books that Nauzubillah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha committed adultery. Whereas the ayat of the Quran Sharif expressing the purification of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the chastity of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the most beloved wife of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they revile her this. So, but yet they say we are Muslims. Qadianis have gone different channels of television. A report appeared recently in which they say they have got three channels. And all three channels they call Ahmadi Islam. Islam, again Islam. So can that be Islam? Where they consider Mirza Ghulam Ahmad as either a prophet, or they consider Mirza Ghulam Ahmad as a reformer. Now, can a person who claims to be a prophet, he's written very, very clearly, I'm not going into discussion again, I said, you know, how we are touching these things, but probably tomorrow is that international Khatm al-Nubuwwat conference there, the NMJ. So this is why they have come down. Because in Cape Town, there was a court case which ran over 100 days, where they were trying to defend Mirza Ghulam Ahmad and his Qadiani deen. They call themselves Ahmadis. How can they say they are Ahmadis? They say because he was Ghulam Ahmad, so now they became Ahmadis. So they were quite happy and excited, the Shias. So whether it is the Shias or the Qadianis or all these other deviant sects. So there's a battle to win the hearts of the believers. They work so hard in the colleges, in the universities. They take people from our country. There are so many of them that are in Qadian, studying in the university. There are so many of them who are in Qom, gone to Iran. And they study there and they come back. The Harif of the Quran Sharif and so many other things that have been mentioned. And especially this person, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. Now we will say that he was an imposter, and who will really believe in a person like him? The person who was such a comic, who will believe in him? The type of claims that he made, only a madman will make. Absolute nonsense. But for them also you'll find followers. There will be followers. We are in them too, you'll get followers. And what kind of followers? Sir Zafrullah Khan. At that time, he was in the United Nations High Court. He even believed in Mirza Ghulam as a reformer. All these people who are worshipping the cows, or worshipping the idols, or worshipping the pictures of Jesus Christ, or worshipping all these type of things, or believing in him as God and the Son of God and the Holy Ghost and everything, that we are not talking as well with regards to their beliefs. What I'm saying is that how many people who are believing in those ideologies, they are presidents of countries, whether it is Bush, or whether it is Brown, or whether it is Black, or whether it is White, or whether it is Smith, whether it is Silver or Gold, whoever the name may be. All the different. Then look at India, look at the other countries of the world. Who are the prime ministers, the presidents of the countries? Who are they? Therefore, we should never just think that our intelligence is sufficient. That I will use my intelligence and I will get Iman. We didn't get Iman because of our intelligence. If Allah Ta'ala did not bless us with Iman out of His Ihsan, we don't know which church we would have been also ringing bells, and we do not know which temple we should also have been folding our hands before some idol. These people also had intelligence, but that intelligence was not of any benefit to them. So therefore we have to be very careful of the shayateen wal jinn wal ins, and especially the insan, because when they listen to those people, those insan, in the universities, in the colleges, it's not jinnat there. They are insan, but they are shayateen, shayateen of jinns. That they whisper all these kind of things. How many letters recently we are getting? How many? Where there is a complete rejection. Now the latest one, at least 5 letters from 1 university, 5. They say that if Allah Ta'ala knew fully well, as we say, Allah Ta'ala knows who is going to do what and whether this person will go into Jannat or Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala knows. So then what was the purpose of creating this whole universe? What was the purpose? It seems all futile. Why must Allah Ta'ala create this? What is the purpose of then believing in Allah Ta'ala? Now, if there are 4 or 5 coming from the same university, what does that mean? That these are people who have written. But there are how many others there who are of the same belief now? And these are Muslim students that we are talking about. So many of them have openly rejected, completely rejected any kind of belief in Allah Ta'ala. And yet the parents sometimes could be namazis and could be first stop of the masjid. So that is that whispering of the shayateenul ins, human beings who are in, or shayateen who are in the form of human beings. We have to be so much on guard. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from these type of whisperings. We are living in a very, very vicious world, very, very vicious. Those who travel out, they know that we must not just look at one small sample around us. It's very, very vicious. And those who have got the pulse on the problems in the societies of the world and the type of ideologies and the type of thinking that is prevalent, then they will tell you that what kind of a vicious cycle we are in. If you're not bitten by one snake this side, then there'll be another one that side. Something or the other will bite. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all hidayah, give us all the tawfiq of amal, and protect us with his fazl and with his kindness and with his ihsan from all kinds of fitnas and corruption and mischief. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار يا غفار يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ہم گنہگار ہیں, سیاہکار ہیں, گندے ہیں, ناپاک ہیں, مجرم اور خطاکار ہیں. ہم سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے ہیں, تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائیں گے. My beloved Allah, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. We are extremely weak, my beloved Allah. We are extremely weak. Nafs and shaitan have overpowered us. Who is there to protect us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan besides you, my beloved Allah? Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are physically sick, we are spiritually sick. Cure us from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases, my beloved Allah. Oh my Rahim Allah, don't turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness because of our sins. Don't seize your ni'mat and bounties because of our sins. We are drowning in the ocean of sins, my beloved Allah. Who is there to take us out of this ocean besides you? You have given man the intelligence to make computer chips. Millions of pieces of information can be recorded on these chips. But just one press of the delete button and everything disappears. My beloved Allah, press the delete button of our sins. Huge mountains can be blown away by small dynamite sticks. With your fazl and kindness, blow away the mountains of sins. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulty. Those who have children, whether children or not, drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-i-Mustaqim. Make us all honest and truthful, my beloved Allah. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all, to return to whomsoever, whatever is due. Give us the realization that we cannot deceive you and we cannot cheat you. We cannot hide our sins from you. Day of Qiyamah, we will have to stand before you and account for our actions and deeds. How are we going to face you, my beloved Allah? Don't let our actions and deeds bring any kind of embarrassment upon my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sacrificed so much of his blood, so much, my beloved Allah, of the blood of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam oozed because of the Ummah. He was stoned for the sake of the Ummah, boycotted and ostracized for the sake of the Ummah. He falls down unconscious in the battle of Uhud. In Taif, he is stoned so much that his shoes become filled with his Mubarak blood. Ya Allah, don't let our actions cause any embarrassment to him on the day of judgment. Hame maaf kar, hame maaf kar. Open the floodgates of your maghfirat and mercy for us. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Bless us barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our time, in our life and every ni'mat. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need your support, my beloved Allah. There is no sahara and support for us besides your support. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Hum tumhara dil humhara chahiye. Bahr-e-ulfat ka kinara chahiye. Dar tumhara sar humara chahiye. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, desires of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Fulfill their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of each and every individual. Ya Allah, remove the pain, suffering, hardships and problems. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.